In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today, writes Dame Guéranger, Holy Mother Church makes a last effort to stir up the devotion of her children. She leads them to the desert. She shows them John the Baptist, upon whose mission she instructed them on the third Sunday. The voice of the austere precursor resounds through the wilderness and penetrates even into the cities. It preaches penance and the obligation men are under of preparing by self-purification for the coming of Christ. Let us retire from the world for these next few days, or if that may not be by reason of our external duties, let us retire into the quiet of our own hearts and confess our iniquities as did those true Israelites who came full of compunction and of faith in the Messiah to John the Baptist, there to make perfect their preparation for worthily receiving the Redeemer on the day of his appearing to the world. Yes, we are quickly approaching the great feast of the Nativity of our Lord, and our Mother, the Church, continues to urge us to prepare for the graces that God will happily bestow upon us if we are well disposed to receive them. How then can we be well disposed? Our Lord's cousin, his holy precursor, St. John the Baptist, teaches us how: by listening to the words that are preached to us and by heeding them. St. John the Baptist prepared the way of our Lord in his time by his preaching. Without the preaching of holy revelation, one cannot believe. St. Paul says this in Romans chapter 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? St. John the Baptist was the last and the greatest of the prophets, those privileged forerunners of our Redeemer. By his preaching and by the conversions which his preaching brought about through penance, he prepared his hearers to receive Christ. This is evident in the different facts that are reported in other parts of sacred scripture. We learn in the first chapter of St. John's Gospel that St. Andrew the Apostle, I believe is up here to my right, to your left, St. Andrew the Apostle, was a disciple of St. John the Baptist, and that through him he came to follow Christ, bringing with him his brother St. Peter. We read, "And Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who had heard the word of John and followed Christ. He findeth first his brother Simon and saith to him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus." St. Andrew is just one of the many followers of St. John the Baptist who were led by John the Baptist to Christ. There were many Jews spread throughout the entire Greco-Roman world who had heard of and followed the teaching of St. John the Baptist. St. Paul encountered one named Apollo near Ephesus, and the Acts of the Apostle relate that, "Now a certain Jew named Apollo, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, one mighty in the Scriptures. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, spoke and taught diligently the things that are of Jesus, knowing only the baptism of John. This man, therefore, began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Priscilla and Aquila had heard, they took him to them and expounded to him the way of the Lord more diligently. And whereas he was desirous to go to Achaia, the brethren exhorting, wrote to the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much who had believed. For with much vigor he convinced the Jews openly, showing the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ." Apollo had never heard of Christ, yet, as he was a disciple of St. John the Baptist, when St. Paul preached of him, Apollo recognized that this was what the teaching of St. John had prepared him for. This is important for us to note here. Apollo had cooperated with the grace that had been offered to him up to that point by God when he became a disciple of John the Baptist, so he was well disposed to receive the grace of faith when it was offered to him through the preaching of St. Paul. St. Francis de Sales, commenting on this Sunday's Gospel, instructs us to receive attentively the doctrine and moral teaching of the Church offered to us by the way of preaching. St. John the Baptist says, he was bound to cry out, St. Francis Sales says this about St. John the Baptist, that he was bound to cry out that the people must prepare the way and that they must level the paths and roads of the Lord. The people whom he addressed were likewise bound to listen, to receive the baptism he offered them, and to do what he told them. If the preacher has the solemn duty to preach to you, you also have that of listening to him and receiving with good dispositions what he announces to you on behalf of God. St. Francis Sales continues, I come here to preach to you, but if I am bound to bring the divine word to you, you are bound to pay attention to it, and not only that, but to learn it well and to carry out what you are taught. And then our holy patron gives the example of the Israelites in the desert who received the manna falling from heaven and says that it was sent that they might gather it up and eat it. So too, what is preached to us for our spiritual good is for us to gather up, to meditate on, and to put into practice in our lives. And he concludes, those who hear God's word, he concludes, are duty-bound to keep it and to profit by it. Why then is the preaching of the word of God not always effective? Certainly, it can be attributed in part to a lack of holiness and ability on the side of the preacher himself. But this was not the case for Christ our Savior. And yet many of his hearers did not receive the words of truth and the salvation that were preached to them by the mouth of God himself. St. Francis Sales gives us two reasons why people do not profit by having the word of God offered to them. The first, he says, is that though they may indeed hear it and be interiorly moved by it, they postpone its accomplishment until tomorrow. Alas, we poor creatures do not realize that this procrastination is the cause of our death and destruction, and that our good is found in the present moment, which is today. Our life is the today in which we are living. Who can promise himself a tomorrow? We are using Advent to prepare for Christmas, but not one of us, young or old, can be absolutely sure that he will see tomorrow. And so let us no longer procrastinate and put off what must be done. This is the first reason that we do not profit from what has been said to us. Remember in the first Sunday of Advent, St. Paul admonishing us in the epistle, now is the hour for us to rise from sleep. That is for us to repeat to ourselves every day in our spiritual life. The second reason that St. Francis gives is that of what he calls spiritual avarice or greed. It is that fault by which we seek to obtain a great deal of knowledge and to amass a huge stock of devotional exercises. You'll find some people, he says, who never tire of amassing new writings and instructions, all sorts of spiritual advice and information, and who nevertheless do not put any of it into practice. This is very damaging for our spiritual life, for the excessive multiplicity of the different practices paralyzes our action. We end up doing nothing, and our good desires evaporate into no concrete action. The Israelites were commanded by God in the desert to only gather up whatever amount of manna was necessary for that day and not to store any up. Instead of storing up countless devotional practices and ideas that never bear any real fruit, that never actually are put into practice, let us resolve to practice devoutly and assiduously a few resolutions. And once we have mastered those, we can add a few more as we need. And of course, this is always something that is good to do with the advice of a spiritual director. This way, we will not waste our time, but use well these last few days in preparing for the glorious feast of our Lord's coming at Christmas. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.